In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
We're so glad that you've joined us today for the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg. And with us in the studio are Brad and Courtney Richard, and they are missionaries to Papua New Guinea. Where is that?
Papua New Guinea is just straight north of Australia.
Okay.
It's actually connected to part of Indonesia, just south of the Philippines. So kind of South Pacific.
Okay. A tremendous need there? Is that what drew you to Papua New Guinea?
Yeah. Papua New Guinea wasn't necessarily where we chose to go. We decided to pursue mission aviation and decided on, through lots of prayer and research and guidance, to join this organization called Ethnos 360, formerly New Tribes Mission, because they had an aviation program, their theology was solid, and then their purpose was very close to our hearts in reaching the unreached people of the world. And so we joined this organization, we went through their training, and they actually directed us to Papua New Guinea because they thought that we would be a good fit for that team. And we're excited to go there. We've thought, actually, for a few years that that would be a good fit.
Uh-huh.
But we wanted to stay open to what the organization wanted us to do. We wanted to be team players. So anyway, we're really excited to go. But there is a huge need there. There's over 800 different languages there, with over half of those still unreached by the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And possibly one of the things that these other missionaries are involved in is translating the Word of God into these languages.
Correct.
Okay. So your ministry will be, Courtney, your nurse, medical help, Brad, your pilot, getting the missionaries there, getting supplies there, transporting people. You did a great job with the video helping us to understand all the different things that the airplane, you know, could accomplish in an hour or two that would normally take a week of walking. Just really, really helpful and beneficial there. We were talking last time about the amount of support that your family needs. And in the break, we were discussing just how much it would cost to get you and ship all your stuff to the field.
Yeah, it's crazy how expensive it is to do mission work like this. One of the reasons so many people are unreached by the gospel is it's just difficult to reach them. They're in difficult locations. Just to get to Papua New Guinea for our family, we're expecting to spend $10,000 to $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
And to ship any kind of stuff overseas, we're looking at another $10,000 or so. Not to mention living there is expensive as well. Everything is imported. It's a third world country, so it's not developed like we're used to.
So the furniture stores are not on every block?
Not every block. Yeah. There's not a Walmart.
Oh,
unfortunately.
So consequently, when you talk about the amount of money that you need in support, we're talking about work funds, we're talking about airplane maintenance and even purchase and things like that, that many times church members have no clue are part of your quote-unquote support.
Yeah, we actually won't be paying for the maintenance. Our organization helps with that, and then the missionaries who pay for their groceries help with that as well. It's kind of a united front in a way to pay for those costs, but we also are paying for evacuation insurance and medical insurance that are a lot higher than normal costs, and everything is imported like we were talking about.
Yeah.
So everything is just higher cost than,
it's
just everything that you'd ever imagine paying for, just a little bit more than just getting there.
Evacuation funds are not something that any of our church members have to think about.
Yeah.
God's a pretty safe place.
Right. But you guys are, when you're talking about support and all of a sudden you're there, you can't work a job, you're totally dependent upon what the churches send in. Sometimes churches face difficulties themselves. Maybe they lose members. Maybe the economy goes bad. Maybe the coronavirus has really hurt their offerings.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes churches say, well, we just kind of need to drop some missionaries. What do you think about that?
Well, for us, we actually are going overseas for the first time, so we've never had a church drop us while we're overseas. We have had individuals drop us before we even go. And I guess looking forward, considering being overseas and some of our churches supporting us maybe a fairly good amount, to consider them dropping us in the middle of while we're gone, it's just rather intimidating, rather scary for
us.
Yeah,
yeah.
So we know that life happens, but I don't know. I guess for us, it would make sense to have some precautions in place to at least give the missionaries a heads up beforehand.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
We've heard stories of people saying that big contributors, big donors, big partners would just up and stop. Then they'd lose 10% of their income or 20% of their income.
Okay.
And that's a big deal, especially if they're not at 100% support at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it just, I guess I would just encourage just trying to have a lot of communication with those missionaries in those hard times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think something that missionaries can do to kind of help with this situation is to be communicating so that the church isn't, like, not considering them.
Uh-huh.
You know, does that make sense? So we're going to try to really be communicating what's going on in our ministry, what's going on over there, so that we're not just out of sight, out of mind, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that that is a part of the missionary should do.
Yeah.
But I think
the
church has to remember that these are people that need them. Yeah.
You mentioned last time we were talking about really a good number of staff that are there on the island and how, Brad, you're going to be having the opportunity to fly them all over the island. And it is definitely an island that doesn't have a whole lot of roads to get to where people live, and that's kind of one of the things that caused you to say, hey, I can get you there. Now, where did you get your pilot's training?
I got my initial pilot training at the University of Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, it's airline, getting people ready for the airlines, but the Lord used it for me in getting ready for Mission Aviation.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you also do power plant and airframe mechanics school?
I didn't go to school, but I do have my airplane and power plant ratings.
Okay.
I did an apprenticeship at a local FBO.
Okay.
The Lord used that to enable me to get my license as well as support my family through the process.
Awesome. Okay. And y'all been married how long?
We've been married 9 years now.
All right.
And we started, as soon as I graduated, we got married, and that's when I became an apprentice for maintenance, and we started working towards missions together.
Okay. So as you get your children ready for that, have you shown them pictures of the island? And
yeah.
So let's talk about children in a church, a local church. As you share what's going on, God's call on your life, let's say you've got an 8 or 9 year old child that begins talking to his or her parents about, I'd really like to maybe be a missionary. What kind of things do you think a local church could do, foster? Now, I know you said you were told by your pastor, don't immediately say, I'm going to be a missionary in Africa, but focus on serving the Lord. What kind of things did your church do to help you prepare to be a missionary?
I think one of the main things my church did was just discipleship.
Okay.
I think that they just, we had really great people working with the kids. And so I had a ton of people just pouring into me how to seek the Lord in my day-to-day life, how to look around me and see other people's needs. I think something else that the church could do is exposure. I think exposure is training. So exposure to people's needs, which is like mission trips.
Yeah, yeah.
Things like that. I think that is good training. I think also some good training would be for the parents to be involved in that.
Mm.
So
why do parents need to be trained?
Well, I know for us, we have been training for 10 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of the 10 years, our parents were happy we were serving the Lord, but they were not happy that we were going.
Right.
And I think that is just a natural response to your child saying, I'm going to leave to go to a third world country. It's totally normal. But this training process, we have brought them along in training, too. They have realized that they're missionaries and that they're senders,
yeah,
too. And so they're doing their own thing, own work, in a way. And so I think the parents need to be able to have time to process that. And if you have a young kid who's wanting to do it, they could either say, well, hopefully he'll not want to do it later.
Whenever
he actually gets to that age. Or they'll be excited for him because they'll be trained in their hearts and the Lord will work in their hearts too.
Is it a mother thing to want to have your children living next door with the grandchildren there?
Yeah. And I think one of our missionaries that helped with the training that was overseas in Ivory Coast, they went and they took their kids and their parents were so sad. And then they came home and they're doing training here, training new missionaries for the next generation. And their kids have left. And they said, you know, we didn't realize what we did to our parents until our kids did to us. I think it's a sacrifice in itself for sure.
Yeah. Here's another question. What was the most helpful advice given to you while getting ready for the mission field?
Can I comment on your last?
Oh, sure. Statement? Yeah, go ahead.
We just want to show how much we appreciate your heart for the Lord, your heart for missions,
and how
that has cascaded down throughout the church. We've seen a heart for missions here at Brookside so much more than average, so much more than average. And we do attribute a lot of that to the staff, to you guys. Mm. They've got to choose to follow, but
you
guys have set the precedence. You guys are good examples for them in ministry and missions. And we just haven't seen it much. Mm. Our college church was very mission-minded, in our opinion.
Yeah.
But it's still...
Yeah, it's really neat to see this. A lot of times we would have this vigor about missions, and just talking to people about it, it's not where they're at in their heart.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I think the Lord will bring them there in His time. But we would go to schools and training where other missionaries were there, and all of a sudden we have this vigor, you know? Yeah. And it's like, oh, it's exciting, and we come to this church, and we see the same vigor, even with people who are staying home. It's really neat.
Well, thank you. One of the things that we try to do is we have a yearly mission trip for our teenagers, and the first year is to a field that speaks English. The second year is to a field that is out of the country, but not too rough of an environment. Third year may be a rougher situation. So by the time they graduate from high school, they've been on four different mission trips. Then we have mission trips for adults. We have mission trips for college students. We have mission trips for the entire church and go to the Philippines for 2 weeks and do nothing but evangelize in the public schools. It's just constantly exposing them to where God's at work. And I think that's one of the things that just really helps keep that vision clear and vibrant, is helping them to see I can be involved in that kind of work. Then we have what we call Nehemiah trips, and those are construction trips to mission fields. That gives our construction folks the opportunity to say we can go and we can train some guys that know nothing about it, and it becomes a real bonding experience for our people, men and women, for our people, and we do that 2 or 3 times a year.
So all your mission trips that you're doing, are they hindering your outreach to the local people?
No.
Exactly. It probably makes it better, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
That's what I would think.
Exactly. Folks, wherever you go to church, support your missionary program. Advance it for the cause of Christ. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.